Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Wednesday, August 7th in the afternoon U.S. time. With me this week is Arlen Suderman, the chief commodities economist for StoneX. Arlen is the first non-dairy team member I've had on the podcast. One of the great things about StoneX is that we have experts in nearly all markets. So when there's something happening outside of the dairy markets that could bleed into dairy, we have the expertise in-house to help us understand what's happening. We started this week with, frankly, a scary meltdown in the Japanese equity market, followed by big sell-offs in other equity markets around the world. And we've been trying to figure out what it all means for the dairy markets. But before we get into the details, Arlen, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up on a small South Central Kansas farm. My grandfather had a dairy, milked by hand. And I still have very clear memories of the iodine smell and just loving to hang around there. Then went to Kansas State University, where I studied animal science and ag economics. And I started off with the Kansas State Extension Service, USDA Extension Service through Kansas State, working with farmers one-on-one on crop production, livestock production, but kept getting questions about marketing. That drove me towards studying the markets. And I'd spent some time private consulting with farmers and then ended up doing research and heading up research first at a private consulting firm and then finally at StoneX.
And I don't envy your job. Twice a day, you're putting out morning comment and a midday comment trying to explain what's happening in the markets. On Monday morning, things were looking pretty bleak and markets did trade lower, including some of the ags, but we've stabilized a bit on Tuesday and Wednesday. What do you think drove the decline in markets on Monday?
Yeah, it really started after a Wednesday night trade, shall we say. And so a lot of blame was thrown at the Federal Reserve for doing too little too late. I disagree with that assessment. I think the Fed gave the markets everything they wanted, and I think maybe went too far, perhaps. Then we had the jobs report that was soft on Friday, but that by no means was a recessionary jobs report. It just showed some softening as the unemployment rate is starting to climb and the number of new jobs created was starting to decline a little bit. But when you really look at the roots of all this, it goes back, and you mentioned Japan, and that's a key ingredient here. Over the last 1 to 2 decades, we have seen a lot of Japanese money coming into the United States. Interest rates were negative in Japan, and so they made money by borrowing against the yen to invest in U.S. markets. So they could borrow money there at negative interest rates, shorting the yen to buy the dollar and invest in our treasury markets and in our equity markets. And so Japanese investors have become the number one foreign holders of U.S. debt. And I believe it's around $1.2 trillion worth, let alone their ownership in the equities. That ownership in these, what we call yen carry trades, is massive. How massive, we're still trying to figure out, and how much of that was hedged versus unhedged, we really don't know. But it was significant. And so then on Wednesday, just before the Fed announced its policy, the Bank of Japan announced that it was going to significantly raise interest rates, the largest rate hike in 15 years. And it ended 8 years of negative interest rates. And so suddenly all of those investors who had put on the yen carry trades found themselves with the Bank of Japan talking additional rate hikes coming, and they were going to slow their quantitative easing program. They felt like, we need to get out of our carry trades and bring that money home. And so they started doing that. That liquidation on the stock market here in the United States created fear and panic. The computers, the algo computer trading, kicked in. adding sell orders. All of a sudden, they thought, well, it must be the economy. And that momentum started, you know, Wednesday night into Thursday, picked up a little more momentum Friday. And then, as you said, Monday, it really hit hard. And so that was the primary concern. The Bank of Japan sent another official out today to say, we're not going to raise rates again until the market stabilizes. They're still going to raise them again, but not until the market stabilizes. That eased some of the concerns, allowed the markets to stabilize. The real risk here is I felt like the economy was showing signs of coming, making a nice soft landing, not needing a recession, and was starting to show signs of strengthening. But now we have created fear in the consumer. We need to quickly reassure the consumer. If not, then what's the consumer going to do? The consumer is going to pull back spending. That means retailers lay off workers. Retailers don't order as many products. That means factories start laying off workers, and you start perpetuating this economic cycle of gloom and doom. But if we do reassure them quickly, then they'll say, oh, we've had a big cut in treasury yields, interest rates, mortgage rates, and we'll start seeing a lot of investment come out of this to stimulate the economy. So a lot weighs on how quickly we can reassure the consumer here in the days and weeks ahead that everything is fine.
I think I'm on board with you. I sent a note out to our dairy group yesterday looking at the correlations between the yen and the S&P 500. And even going back to like October of last year when the yen was firming a bit, the equity sold off. And again in April of this year, and then as you said, in the past five trading days here, we've seen the same type of correlations holding up. Correlations not necessarily causation, but it kind of makes sense. So it seems like the movements that we've seen in the equities and the fear on Monday might be primarily money flow related and not tied to the real economy. Like you said, the expectations of the economy slowing could cause the economy to slow. So what can U.S. policymakers do to change that sentiment around? I mean, is inflation low enough now that the Federal Reserve can cut rates in September?
Well, they can. I think they need to be careful about not overdoing it. And I think they really want to. Everyone wants to be the good guy, so to speak. And they've been getting pounded politically and in the media and every which way whenever they go to Congress to testify about needing lower rates. And so that's just human nature. You start to give into that. But they have to be careful because overall, when you look at a monetary base, the supply of money that's available to the consumer, that's actually been trending higher at a time that the Federal Reserve has been shrinking its balance sheet. Usually those two correlate very closely together. So when the Fed is shrinking its balance sheet, monetary base is in decline. That's their purpose, how they get control of inflation is by shrinking the amount of money available to the consumer. But it's been rising over the last 9-10 months. And I think a big part of that is the fiscal spending that we're doing through various bills that have passed Congress that are still injecting stimulus into our economy, combined with the student loan forgiveness program. We're still putting money into the economy, and that money is still there. A lot of that's still there. So if we cut rates, we bring back consumer confidence, we could see a rapid escalation of inflation pressures once again. The other factor at play is because of congressional spending. The supply of debt certificates continues to grow relative to the demand for those certificates. And I think the Fed's going to start to lose its influence over mid and longer term rates, putting upward pressure on them. And if we look, for example, at, we're going to see Japanese investors buying fewer of them. So we need to get more demand for treasury certificates. Right now, interest on our debt is at around $912 billion. It's rising by $1 billion every day and a half or so. And so it is within a few days of being higher, spending more on servicing our debt on an annual basis than what we spend on our national defense and the various wars that we're involved in, including Ukraine, Israel, and helping Taiwan defend itself. that's unsustainable. And so that is a concern longer term that we're going to see those higher interest rates, which also tends to prove inflationary as well.
Yeah, the national debt numbers are scary. Actually, I was talking to my 9-year-old like 2 weeks ago, and I was explaining how he's in the hole by $133,000. Every American is, and he needs to get a job soon to start paying that back. But
that's good.
Thinking through this, if the longer term interest rates may not come down much because of the piling. The pile of debt that we have out there and the new issuance is coming. But the Fed Reserve cuts rates here short term to inject some confidence back into the economy and to keep things moving. Those still higher deferred rates could help to balance out the stimulative effect of lower short term rates. And maybe we could still sort of pull off a soft landing without the inflation. Is that a possible scenario?
Oh, it's really possible. And overall, I'd say my base case scenario is we probably see interest rates go back to what was considered more normal in the 90s and early 2000s versus what we've seen here over the last 10 to 15 years. And so the risk is still there that we could see them go much higher. But I think before that happens, we see the Federal Reserve go back to quantitative easing again, printing money to buy our debt. And ironically, that whole model comes from Ben Bernanke, who was in charge of the Fed 15 years ago, trying to model what Japan was doing. And now Japan is trying to unwind and get out of what they were doing because it didn't work. We have seen yields on 10-year treasuries jump 30 basis points in the last 2 days. Simply because of now that the economic fears of rush to safety to the treasuries for a safety investment are easing, now we're starting to see those pressures come back of needing to find enough buyers of debt certificates relative to the supply. And so we're seeing a rapid bounce back in those treasury yields.
Just to bring it back to dairy, to wrap it up here, it seems like a chunk of that fear late last week into this week is money flows, not necessarily a sudden deterioration in the economy. The economy has been slowing. The job market's cooling off a bit. Things aren't looking fantastic, but it's not like there was some sudden shift in the underlying conditions of the economy that should have us really concerned about dairy demand.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I think the areas of where I'd be concerned is more with the cattle market. Where have we hurt the consumer enough? Or is the consumer going to be cautious enough where they're going to pull back wanting to buy those, pay up for those higher cuts of beef with the tighter inventories that we have? And we'll move that down the value chain to pork and poultry. But with dairy, I don't see any imminent concern right now as long as we can restabilize the markets and restore the confidence of the consumer.
All right. Thank you for your time today, Arlen.
Thank you, Nate.
The StoneX dairy team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National NOL Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through S.A. Stone Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and S.A. Stone Investment Advisors, Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of Stone X Group, Inc. Stone X Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales, company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. Stone X Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Lux B10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P000000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. Stone X Financial T. Limited Co. Reg. No. 20113059 RSFP holds a capital market services license and is regulated by Monetary Authority of Singapore, IMASA for dealing in exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts and spot foreign exchange contracts for the purposes of leveraged foreign exchange trading. Stone X Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ 152-SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. Stone X Financial T. Limited acts as agent for SFL in Singapore with respect to its payment services business. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any derivative or security. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation or needs and does not create a binding obligation on any of the Stone X Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094 or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652 and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. The analysis/report is only permitted to be distributed in Singapore to a person who is an accredited investor, expert investor, or an institutional investor as defined under Section 4A of the Securities Futures Act Singapore. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309100 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, the analysis or report distributed. Stone X Financial Pte Ltd Co. Reg. No. 20113059 RSFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore MAST. SFP holds an MAS Capital Market Services license for dealing in securities, units in collective investment schemes, exchange-traded derivatives contracts, OTC derivatives contracts, and spot foreign exchange contracts for leveraged foreign exchange trading, and is an MAS-exempt financial advisor. Stone X Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ 152-SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in securities and dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission AFSL, 345646. Stone X Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 0104010471999 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group Inc. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group Inc. All rights reserved.